Men, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is there in verse 7 where the Bible reads, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the title of my sermon this morning is The Mental Illness Triad. So I'm going to talk about three different types of mental illness this morning. And I think that this sermon is going to be helpful maybe to put together some things that I've preached in different sermons over the years in the past. I feel like I've touched on three different aspects of this in three different types of sermons. So I'm going to put it all together in one sermon to help us understand the three different reasons why people are crazy today, or they would lose their mind, or what the Bible calls madness, right? Being crazy, or what we would call today mentally ill, okay? So I'm going to give the three types of mental illness. I'm going to put them in three categories. And to help you remember this, I've actually brought some visual aids today for my three categories. And these might seem a little bit strange at first, but it's going to make sense as the sermon goes on. We've got category number one right here, okay, the can of bug spray. Category number two, we've got our crayons. And then category number three, I've got this tremendous faggot right here, okay? So this is a bundle of sticks. You never thought that one of these would be allowed in Faith Ward Baptist Church, right? This is the only one that will ever be allowed in here. So anyway, I feel like this could help you remember as I point to these things and talk about these things this morning. So first of all, I want to talk about this text. We're going to get into some other texts. But in 2 Timothy 1:7 here, it says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So I submit to you this morning that there are three different types of mental illness that we could break things down into. And they're very different from one another. Obviously, there could be some overlap and crossover between these. But basically, one of them is a physical problem. That's actually just a chemical imbalance or a physical problem in your body. Another one is demonic in nature. And then the other is being turned over to a reprobate mind. Okay. And so what we would call these, number one is psychosis. And then this would be your multiple personality, dissociative identity disorder, schizophrenia. And then over here, this would be being a psychopath. Okay, so what are these three things? I'm going to explain these three things. We're going to get into the scriptures. Okay, first of all, psychosis is a type of mental illness where it's sort of like when you're having a nightmare, except you're awake. So all kinds of bizarre things are happening, and you can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not real. Now, here's the thing about psychosis is that there's actually something in your brain that doctors could point to and show you, hey, this is the chemical reaction that's going on, this molecule and that. There's actually a physical indication of this right here, okay? This is someone who has a physical problem in their brain, okay, making them crazy, and we'll get more into that. When it comes to the multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder or even schizophrenia in many cases, what we're actually talking about is people simply being demon-possessed, okay? When you're saying, okay, you know, okay, I want to talk to Charles now. You know, can I talk to Charles? Charles isn't here right now, you know. These people are demon-possessed, all right? So these multiple personalities, that's simply someone who's demonic at that point. You know, they have other spirits coming in and indwelling them and taking control of their body, these different personalities and so forth. Okay, and then when we use the term psychopath, we're talking about someone who has no conscience. And even worldly psychology textbooks and psychiatrists will diagnose people with psychopathic this or that or the other. And being a psychopath simply means that they have no conscience. And if you look for a physical indication of being psychotic, you'll find it. This right here, nobody knows what causes it. Of course, we know what causes it. But when it comes to the multiple personality disorder, dissociative identity disorder, there's all this controversy about what causes it. Because it's not like you can take a blood test or do an MRI or a brain scan and say, well, you know, you got multiple personality disorder. There's nothing that physically is wrong with that person's brain. It's a spiritual problem. And then, of course, the total lack of conscience is a spiritual problem as well. It's called being given over to a reprobate mind. So this is going to make more sense as I get into the sermon and go through the scriptures on these three different categories and explain why it's kind of important to understand these three different things and to be able to differentiate between these three different things. So over here we have the psychosis. Now it's represented by bug spray because one of the most shocking or interesting kinds of psychosis is what's called parasitosis, where people think that they're covered in bugs and they think their house is filled with bugs. They think they're infested with bugs. I preached on this a couple years ago and I had multiple pest control guys contact me and say that multiple times per year they get called out to people who feel that their body is infested in bugs and there are no bugs anywhere. And as a pest control guy, they said everybody in their shop deals with this multiple times a year. So it's actually quite common. We'll get more into that later. So that's why I have the bug spray representing what's known as sometimes cocaine bugs, because sometimes people can snort cocaine and get this idea that they're covered in bugs or whatever. And then this is for the schizophrenia because of the famous art therapy that, you know, schizophrenics are often given crayons, you know, to draw with. And then over here, you know, I think everybody understands why this represents the psychopaths. Okay. The reprobates. And by the way, if you haven't seen Pastor Jimenez's documentary, Psychopath Reprobates, yeah. I highly recommend it. You can grab a free copy off the back shelf there or watch it on YouTube or whatever. All right, let's go to Daniel chapter 4, first of all. Daniel chapter 4, I want to talk about psychosis, first of all. We're going to talk about psychosis. We're going to talk about people that are crazy because they actually have a physical, chemical imbalance in their brain where they can't discern reality, okay? Let me give you some scripture on this. Job chapter 12, verse 24 says, "He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man." When he says there he takes away their heart, what he means by that in this context is he takes away their understanding. He takes away their mental capacity. He basically makes them lose their mind. Now, this right here can be a punishment from God. Now, I'm not saying it's always a punishment from God because it's the same as any illness. You know, sometimes we just get sick. Other times, God could smite someone with an illness as a punishment, okay? Just like in the Bible, they said to Jesus when they saw a blind man, they said, "Hey, you know, did this man sin or did his parents sin for him to be born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned, neither have his parents sinned. He was born blind for the glory of God." So we don't want to judge other people and think to ourselves, "Oh, you are going through this bad thing. You must not be right with God. You must be living in sin." Because look at the whole book of Job is about what? The whole book of Job is about a righteous man who was afflicted with physical ailments and lots of problems. And his friends accused him of being sinful. They said, "Oh, well, Job, you must be into some serious sin or God wouldn't be doing this to you." And Job keeps insisting that he's innocent. And of course, he was innocent. The Bible tells us that he was the most righteous man on the earth at that time. And yet he was smitten with the worst possible plagues. So we don't want to jump to conclusions that whenever we see someone suffering through something, oh, that's God chastening them. That's God punishing them. You say, "Well, how do I know the difference? How do I know if I'm being punished by God or if I'm going through trials and tribulations that God's using to make me a better person?" Here's the answer. If you're doing the right things in your life and bad things happen, you're going through trials and tribulations to make you a better person. Amen. If you're doing bad things in life, then it's chastisement from God. It's punishment. You know whether you love the Lord, whether you wake up in the morning and desire to serve Him and obey Him. You know whether you're going to church and reading your Bible and preaching the gospel and doing the stuff that you're supposed to do. If you're doing the things that you're supposed to do and something bad happens, you can have the assurance of knowing, "Hey, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way that I take." But when you're out living a sinful life, you're backslidden, you're fornicating, you're drinking, you're taking drugs, well, then guess what? That's chastisement. That's punishment from God. That's how you know the difference, all right? So you examine yourself based on Scripture and figure out whether you're living right or not. Scripture can be the only judge of that, not our circumstances, okay? So this right here can be a punishment from God. For example, where you are there in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is punished with this. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So here we see Nebuchadnezzar. Is Nebuchadnezzar a reprobate?
No.
Here we see him getting right with God, humbling himself. And so he's not a reprobate at all. But because of being prideful and arrogant, he got punished with this right here, right? He got punished with insanity, madness. He's driven out in the field. Can you imagine what it was like for him living outside for 7 years, eating grass, being wet with the dew of heaven? And the Bible says that his hair became like eagle's feathers, right? And that his nails became like bird claws. So, I mean, his fingernails grew super long. His hair grew like, he's just a wild animal. Nobody could reason with him. He completely lost his mind. And then after 7 years, his mind comes back, and now he's ready to be humble before God. Okay. So if God didn't care about him, God wouldn't have done that to him. Even though it was a horrible punishment, it actually got him back right with the Lord. So in the end, God was actually trying to help him be humble and be righteous and so forth. And I believe Nebuchadnezzar is going to be in heaven one day.
Amen.
So he was punished with this, okay? Now, you don't have to turn there, but in Deuteronomy 28, 28, God says that he will punish those who forsake his word with madness. It says in verse 28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And on it goes, all the list of things that God will use as a punishment. Mental illness could be one of them, okay? And remember, we're talking about the physical type of mental illness here. Now, let me ask you this. Can a Christian become a reprobate? No way. The reprobate mind is something that an unsaved person who rejects the Lord and doesn't even want to retain God in their knowledge, they are given over to a reprobate mind where they have no conscience and they are past feeling, etc. Okay. Now, can a Christian be demon-possessed? No. I do not believe that a Christian can be demon-possessed for 1 second. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We're permanently indwelled by the Holy Spirit if we're saved. Now, we still have the flesh that could lead us into sin, but we would never be demon-possessed, okay? But could we be struck with this right here? Absolutely. God could punish us with this, or we could get this through just a physical means that has nothing to do with the punishment of God. Or maybe it does. It just depends on the situation. So we don't want to jump to conclusions. I've seen some people jump to conclusions where they see somebody go crazy and they just immediately assume, oh, that person must not be saved because God gave us the spirit of a sound mind. But wait a minute. God gave us the spirit of a sound mind. But what about our flesh? Could our flesh be compromised?
Yeah.
Yes, our flesh could be compromised. I've specifically known two people who, after getting their mercury fillings removed from their mouth, went crazy. Okay? Because of the fact that the mercury in fillings is toxic. You know, it's the heavy metal toxicity. And if they're removed carelessly, it can release those toxins into your body. So sometimes people think they're doing something good, like, oh man, I gotta get these mercury fillings out. You know, get something healthier in there. Well, that's a great thought. But you better go to a dentist who knows the danger, where they'll take extra precautions to make sure that none of that stuff gets in your system. If you have a dentist that says, oh, don't worry about it, it's not, I'd have somebody else take them out who understands the risk and is careful. I personally have known two people that I knew well who, when they got their mercury fillings removed, went cuckoo, right?
Yeah.
Just totally crazy. totally lost their mind. Now, why is that? Is that, you know, was it a demonic thing? Was it, you know, was it a punishment from God or is it a reprobate? No. What it was that the mercury was poisoning their body and causing a chemical imbalance in their brain where they were just completely losing it. And then they went back to normal. And in fact, both of these guys are saved. So it's not a spiritual problem that they had a physical problem. But let me talk about the biggest reason why this is applicable is that drugs will do this to you. Okay? This is one of the biggest reasons why you shouldn't do drugs. Now look, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. You know, that tells me that God wants us to have a sound mind. He wants us to be sane. And how many times does he tell us to be sober? So he doesn't want us drinking alcohol because then we're not fully in our right mind. He doesn't want us taking drugs. Then we're not fully in our right mind. But let me tell you something. If you take drugs, kids, you can fry your brain permanently and be this guy for the rest of your life. Okay? And I've known people also that happened to. I'm talking about people that I've been close to or friends of the family that these things have happened to. This is not just some vague thing out there somewhere. And I bet if I ask for a raise of hand, how many of you know people who've lost their minds due to taking drugs and just gone completely nuts? Look at all the hands. So listen, kids, it's stupid and foolish for you to mess with drugs. You say, well, I'm just going to smoke a little marijuana. What's the big deal? You know, it's legal now. Go down to the dispensary or whatever and get some marijuana. Look, I've talked to people that struggle with mental illness and said, so which drug did you take? It was smoking marijuana. You say, oh, that's impossible. That can't. You know what? You're listening to a bunch of garbage from people telling you that drugs are okay. Listen, anything that's poisonous coming into your body can trigger psychosis. Now, look, some people can get mercury fillings removed and smoke pot and drink and take drugs. They could snort cocaine and they won't go crazy. But is that the chance that you want to take? Because guess what? A lot of people who do those things do go crazy. And here's a little statistic for you. Studies show that men who drink alcohol are 8 times as likely to develop psychosis. Not even talking about drugs. You are 8 times as likely to develop psychosis if you're a drinker. And for a woman, if you drink, you're 3 times as likely. So apparently more men are going crazy that are drinkers. But the point is, these things are all increasing your chances. Now let me ask you this. Who's going to get punished more for living in sin, Christians or non-Christians? Christians. So look, if you're a born-again child of God, if you're a saved Christian and you go out and snort cocaine, who do you think God's going to cloud up and rain on? Christians. More on the child of God who should know better. And you know what? God smote Nebuchadnezzar. God smote the children of Israel. He smote people throughout the Bible with insanity, and he will punish you if you grow up in a Christian home and you're going to church and then you go out there and say, oh, I'm just going to sow my wild oats a little bit, fool around with drugs a little bit, smoke a little pot. And not only that, how many times has somebody been given pot laced with something else?
Right. To
try to get them hooked on a drug that's more extreme. Folks, it's a slippery slope. You drink that beer, you smoke that pot. Those are gateway drugs to get you into worse things. And you never know when you're going to get that bad batch of drugs or when your body is just not going to be able to handle whatever toxic poisons you're putting in. And let me tell you something. Alcohol is poisonous. If you take it in high quantities, you'll die of blood alcohol poisoning. Okay? Drugs are poisonous, toxic. These are bad substances to be putting in your body. You don't want to mess with your body's balance of chemicals. And then you end up with a chemical imbalance, and you might be crazy for the rest of your life. You might not be like Nebuchadnezzar, where 7 years later your faculties are restored. They just may never be restored. You'll be one of these people who just walks around the city screaming at the sky and totally out of their mind or whatever. So let me just run through some types of psychosis here before we move on to the others. Here are some types of psychosis. It's categorized into the bizarre delusion and the non-bizarre delusion. Okay. So another word for being psychotic is having delusions. Okay. So you think things are there, you think things are real that aren't real. So a non-bizarre delusion is something that's false, but at least it could happen. Like, for example, someone thinks that they're under constant government surveillance or something when they're just kind of nobody. Sometimes this person is struggling from psychosis. You know, when they have just these unreasonable fears of they're constantly being watched and under surveillance and so forth, and there's not really a reason to think that. Then there's the bizarre delusion, the one that just has no possibility that it ever could be true in anyone. Like, for example, there is a really common delusion that people get with drug-induced psychosis where they think that all of their organs have been removed from their body and replaced with someone else's, and there's no scar. So that's one of the most common bizarre delusions, okay? But let me give you some common themes here. There's the Cotard delusion, which is the false belief that one does not exist or has died. So people are afraid that they died, even though they're here, you know, they're living, they're here. Then there's delusional jealousy, where someone believes that their spouse is having an affair with no proof to back up that claim. There's the delusion of your mind being read, where people go around and they think everyone can read their mind. And so this makes them really upset and agitated and scared to get around people. Then here's another one, erotomania. This is the false belief that another person is in love with them. And this is typically with celebrities. And Paul Wittenberger and I, we know somebody who suffers from this. And he's fixated on Mariah Carey. And he thinks that he's dating Mariah Carey. And we used to know this guy when he was normal. We knew this guy when he was a very smart, articulate, normal guy. Now he thinks that he's in a relationship with Mariah Carey. He's constantly talking about it online and everything. I mean, he's just completely lost his mind. And you know why? Because he took drugs. Took drugs, lost his mind. Guy that we knew. And, oh, by the way, he's been to our church before when he was normal. Now he's completely gone cuckoo with erotomania, where he thinks that Mariah Carey is his girlfriend or something. And I don't know why Mariah Carey, but whatever. He's a child of the 90s, apparently. But anyway, the thing is, though, a lot of times these people can then confront those celebrities and then get really angry when, you know, they act like they don't know who they are, because they don't know who they are. Okay. Now, here's a big one, folks. The delusions of religious grandeur. Now, I always thought this was just a figure of speech. I didn't really know it was a real medical diagnosis. Grandiose religious delusion is when people believe that they are some kind of either a god or some kind of a significant biblical character. And I have gotten hundreds of letters and emails from people who suffer from this. And I'm not kidding. And I was perplexed by this for a long time. Then when I read up on drug-induced psychosis, I realized, I'm like, I get it now. These people. So now when I get these emails, I write back to them and say, hey, you clearly are suffering from drug-induced psychosis. If you're still taking the drugs, you need to get off drugs. You need to seek some kind of professional help, you know. I write back to people like that. And they're like, and then I'll get a response like, well, yeah, I take drugs, but that has nothing to do with it. Or like, all I do, I just smoke some pot, that's it, you know, I'm fine. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about I've gotten letters from people saying that they're one of the two witnesses of Revelation. I'm afraid I'm the Antichrist, what do I do? I've gotten like 20 of those. I've heard from like 20 Antichrists, 50 witnesses, and look, there can only be two, folks. Somebody's lying, you know? It can't all be the two witnesses. You know, they're Moses, they're Elijah. I think I'm the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, I think I'm the Antichrist. I'm afraid I'm the devil. I mean, I get these. And you say, oh, I think they're just pulling your leg. Really? Because last time I checked, people don't write a 40-page handwritten letter when they're playing a joke. I'm talking about I get a registered mail. I think I'm getting sued or something. I have to go down to the post office and I signed for it. And they give me like 40 pages of handwriting. I wanted to make sure this got straight to Pastor Anderson. This is serious. You know, I'm Moses. I'm one of the two witnesses. I mean, over the year, folks, I've been pastoring for like almost 14 years. I've gotten a lot of this stuff. And I've talked to these people in person. And you know what? One guy I talked to, and he was totally normal. Couple years later, I started getting messages like this from him. A guy who used to be normal, and guess what? He took drugs, fried his brain. I'm telling you, this is a real thing, folks. And then, of course, last but not least, delusional parasitosis. delusion in which one feels infested with insects, bacteria, mites, spiders, lice, fleas, worms, or other organisms. Affected individuals may also report being repeatedly bitten. In some cases, entomologists are asked to investigate cases of mysterious bites. Sometimes physical manifestations may occur, including skin lesions, because they'll scratch and... I don't want to cross the line being too graphic here, but I heard from a pest control guy, he went out to this woman's house and she was digging in her own arm trying to show him the bugs, and there was just nothing there. I mean, I'm telling you. Well, oh yeah, just go ahead, folks. Don't listen to me. Go out, smoke pot, snort cocaine, do drugs, whatever. But you know what? This is your future. And you know what? How would you like your life to be a nightmare that never ends? How would you like to live a real living horror movie that just never ends, where you're just covered in fleas, covered in lice, covered in bugs, you have little things burrowing into you? It's the worst thing that could ever happen. And you know what God talks about? He said, I will choose your delusions. I'll bring your fears upon you. God can punish people with this. And you know, you go out and take drugs, you are asking for this. Okay, this is not fun, but people lose their minds every day. This is not some rare thing, folks. It happens all the time. I'll read this for you, Isaiah 66:4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So, you know, you go out and choose what God does not delight in. You don't listen to the Word of God. You don't listen to preaching. You don't listen to your parents. You don't listen to advice. You go out and live a worldly, sinful life. You start messing around with drinking. And it, by the way, even cigarettes have nicotine in them. The nicotine can be a trigger for this too. Any kind of substances you're putting in your body, look, just put food and drink in your body. All this junk that you're putting in your body, all these toxins, eventually they reach a tipping point and it's just like you crack. I don't want to crack. You shouldn't want to go there. And this is the worst thing that could happen to you. So watch out for this. Okay, let's move on to this. Go, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. So we're talking about three different types of mental illness, the triad this morning, right? We've got psychosis. We've got the multiple personality, dissociative identity disorder, schizophrenia, and we've got over here the reprobates, the psychopaths. Now look, a lot of people mix up these words because they're so similar. Psychopath, psychotic. These are not the same thing. You know, because sometimes we'll just say somebody's a psycho. Well, what do you mean by that? You know what I mean? Are we talking about this guy who's got a physical, chemical imbalance, which could be from toxicity? It could be from taking drugs. It could be a punishment from God. Or it could be just through no fault of his own. He got exposed to something through whatever, vaccines or just toxins in the air, the water supply, bad food. I mean, you know, anything could trigger this or nothing. And then, of course, so this right here, this is different. The psychotic guy is confused about what's real and what's not real. He's living a life that's a nightmare all the time. This guy right here is a guy with no conscience, the psychopath. We don't want to mix up these two things, all right? These are different. And then this right here is demonic. Now you say, Pastor Anderson, why are you differentiating these things? Because we've got a physical problem, a demon problem, and we've got a reprobate problem. Now look, is everybody who's demon-possessed a reprobate? No, because you see all kinds of demon-possessed people in the Bible getting saved. Right? The demons leave, they get saved, they believe on Christ. So this guy, and look, is every reprobate demon possessed? No. These are different things. Now look, can a Christian be reprobate? No. Can a Christian be demon possessed? No. But can a Christian become psychotic? Yeah. Because I was just talking to a guy the other day and he said, you know, I was really concerned because I won this guy to the Lord and then he developed psychosis. And then I thought, oh, I guess the guy's not saved because God gave us the spirit of a sound mind. But you got to understand, it's a physical problem. Now, if somebody becomes this guy, yeah, he wasn't saved because that's a reprobate mind. That's reserved for the unsaved. If somebody's demon-possessed, yeah, they're not saved. Christians can't be demon-possessed. So anyway, let's look down at our Bible and learn something about people that are demon-possessed. Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That's another word for a demon or a devil, an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Did I just read the same verse a couple times?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a little mixed up. My notes got a little mixed up. I'm losing it. No. No, but what it is my notes, for some reason when I pasted this in, it goes verse 5, verse 7, verse 6, verse 7 again, verse 8. All right. So we're skipping around a little bit. All right. Sorry about that. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, watch this, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Folks, this is your multiple personality disorder. This is your dissociative identity disorder. Folks, it's not one person who has many personalities or one person who has many identities. What it is there's the person and then there are the demons that are living inside them. And when they're talking to this name and that name, they're talking to this demon and that demon. So here we have an example of someone possessed by multiple demons saying, "Well, you know, my name's Legion because we are many." Okay, so multiple entities living there. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Another thing that we saw there with the demon possession, not only did we see the multiple personalities or the dissociative identity, where Jesus isn't really talking to the guy inside, he's talking to the demons that are indwelling him. But we also saw the self-destructive behavior, right? Cutting himself with stones. And folks, this is a big thing. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, these gothics that would be cutting themselves and lancing themselves, and they had all these scars of cutting themselves. Folks, that is a demonic activity. Someone who is cutting themselves is either A, demon-possessed, or B, mimicking someone who's demon-possessed and trying to be like, "Yeah, I can be like Trent Reznor or something, you know, I can be like whoever," you know, because they have heroes that are demonic.
Yeah.
But it's demonic. Make no mistake about it. Making cuttings in your flesh for the dead is in the same breath with, you know, eating blood and practicing witchcraft in Leviticus 19. The prophets of Baal, who are worshiping Satan, they cut themselves until the blood gushed out. Here we see a demoniac in Mark 5 cutting himself. Folks, people who are doing that are either demon-possessed or they're following stars amongst these. I don't think gothic's a thing anymore. I guess now it's been replaced by emo. Is that right? Or is that a little bit of a different thing? Who knows? Emo's gone too? Man, I need to get up to date here. So who's cutting themselves these days? Who are the demoniacs these days?
Emo is still alive and strong.
All right, emo's alive and well, according to one source. All right, so anyway, the point is that, you know, this is the devil wanting people to destroy themselves. Look down at your Bible, Matthew 17, 15. "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic." And what does lunatic mean to us? When we hear the word lunatic, we think somebody's crazy. Right? They're nuts. He's lunatic. Comes from the word luna, like lunar, like the moon, like they're, or something, they're crazy. Over the moon crazy, yeah. So he's lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. So here's a guy, he's throwing himself in the fire, the demon's throwing him in the fire, or throwing him in the water, cutting himself. This kind of self-destructive, self-harming behavior, multiple personalities. 23% of schizophrenics practice self-harm. 10% have already attempted suicide. Now, here's the thing with schizophrenia could be... Now, look, multiple personality and dissociative identity disorder is right here for sure. They're demon-possessed. All right, no question about that. Now, some types of schizophrenia can be this over here because of the fact that sometimes what's called schizophrenia is really crossing the line over into psychosis a little bit, where it's a different reality. But the reason that I put a lot of schizophrenia in this category right here is because I wanted to use the box of crayons, number one. But number two is because of the fact that schizophrenia a lot of times involves people hearing voices and telling them to do bad things, telling them to hurt themselves, telling them to cut themselves, telling them to hurt other people. And they talk to these imaginary friends who tell them to do bad things. Well, guess what? That's demonic right there. So that, right, that's why I'm lumping that in. But some people who could have been diagnosed schizophrenia, you know, if they're not hearing these kind of voices and having these other entities and personalities, then, you know, they could just be more in this category. So I'm not trying to just draw like a hard line necessarily, but we need to understand the three sources of these issues that people are having in their brain. Okay, so now let's move on to this right here. Okay, the psychopath. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning to Ephesians chapter 4, so let's review here. We got the psychotic, and then we got here the multiple personalities or schizophrenic, and then over here we have the psychopath. The psychopath is the person who has, what do they not have?
Conscience.
They don't have a conscience. And even the world will tell you this. If you watch that documentary that Pastor Jimenez made, I mean, they show all kinds of interviews with psychologists and psychiatrists saying, these people can't be fixed. There's nothing we can do for them. They'll never get better. All we can do is just try to make sure that they don't do too much damage and just try to mitigate the results of their behavior or their mentality. But he said, they basically teach once a psychopath is always a psychopath. You know, it's just they have no conscience. They have no normal human empathy for other people, okay? So look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And look at verse 19. Who being past feeling... people have gone so far, they have no feelings anymore. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Go, if you would, to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, also 1 Timothy chapter 4 speaks of those who are false prophets as speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? Well, think about this. What if you have your fingerprints on your fingers and you just seared them or just melted the tips of your fingers and it's just gone? There's no indication. So when the Bible talks about having the conscience seared with a hot iron, you know, it's the conscience is no longer functioning. The conscience has been numbed or destroyed or rendered useless. Their past feeling. Look what Titus chapter 1 verse 14 says, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So many of the false prophets and false teachers and religious charlatans are psychopaths. They're what the worldly psychologists call the corporate psychopath, if you saw that documentary. The corporate psychopath. The one who's not out there just being a serial killer, but he is still just totally unscrupulous, willing to hurt anyone for his own gain. He'll lie. He'll send people to hell. He doesn't care. He'll teach lies for money. All that matters is his own fame, his own success, his own financial gain. So people that are, look at these terms that we're seeing. Go to Romans 1. Past feeling. Conscience seared with a hot iron. Mind and conscience defiled. Reprobate, which means rejected, right? And in this context, it means rejected by God. So that's a psychopath. And it's funny how even the world tells us that there are people amongst us who are past feeling, have no conscience, and they're just super wicked. And they seem like everybody else. They can act like they have feelings. They can act like they care, act like they love you. But inside, they're just conniving, manipulating, and really, they have no moral compass at all. They'll do anything. They'll do anything. They have no conscience. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile is that which is disgusting. Vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. And let me tell you something. If you'll do that, you'll do anything. Okay, that is not normal. That's abnormal, these vile affections, these disgusting things, the men with men and everything else listed here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And let me tell you something. This is appropriate in this discussion because we're talking about the mind. See, when we talk about the reprobate, let's not forget it's the reprobate mind. The reprobate mind, okay? So when we talk about different types of insanity, we're talking about the psychotic, we're talking about the multiple personalities, and then we're talking about the psychopathic. And let me tell you something, the sodomites are in this category.
Yep. Yeah.
The Bible tells us that they are reprobates. Right. And if we don't have time to read the whole passage, he talks about how their heart has been darkened, their eyes have been blinded. All the same things that it said about the people that are past feeling, conscience, mind defiled, reprobate concerning the faith, etc. No conscience, no limit. That's why the Bible lists all these other activities that they will inevitably do because they have no conscience, right? So it tells us, let me get there in my Bible because this wasn't in my notes this way. But if we get there, what we just read about, you know, the women changing the natural use, that which is against nature. Verse 27, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one to another, men with men. Look what it says about this group of people in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Well, of course, if you have no conscience, you're going to be filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now look, the Bible's not saying that if you do these things, you're a reprobate, because of course, lots of people disobeyed their parents or boasted or were pride. That's not the point. The point is that the reprobate does all these things. It's not saying, hey, if you do any of these things, you're a reprobate. It's saying, here's what reprobates do. Does everybody understand the difference there? These are all the things they do. Why would they do these things? Why would they be so implacable and unmerciful, as it says at the end of verse 31? The answer is because they have no conscience. Because the mind and the conscience is defiled. The reprobate mind is not a normal brain. It's not a normal functioning brain. It's not a normal functioning mind. Okay? Our brain stops us from doing horrible things because of our conscience and just because certain things would just be revolting or disgusting to us. We're human beings. We're not an animal. You know, you see animals like you see the dog return to his vomit or something. You know, stuff like that is disgusting to us because we're human. Okay, but the reprobate mind is given over to just filth. The reprobate mind is just given over to no conscience, just harming other people. What does unmerciful mean? It means someone's crying for mercy and you won't show them any mercy. What's implacable mean? It means nothing will stop you. Nothing will satisfy you. Nothing will get you to back down. You're just going to keep coming, okay? Relentless. And so this is totally different. This person is super, super wicked, just doomed beyond salvation, past feeling. Hey, they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They rejected God. God rejected them. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30 says, reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord has rejected them. Okay, but is this guy just totally doomed and rejected by God? No. Not necessarily, no. Because this guy, even if somebody who's demon-possessed could still get saved. Okay, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand. Hey, who was demon-possessed before you got saved? You know, I'm not going to ask for that raise of hands. But you know what? I'm sure there are probably some people that are here that would testify to having some experience with this kind of stuff before they got saved. Okay? And I definitely believe I've run into people, and I'm not going to get into all my stories of people that I've run into that I believe were demon-possessed, obviously. But you know, this guy can still be saved. And now, is this guy already saved? No, I do not believe for one second that a Christian could be demon-possessed. When someone's demon-possessed, they're not saved. Okay. But they could get saved. Unless they're this guy too. Now, let's face it, there could be combos. There could be a guy who's both of these. Right? Judas Iscariot. Not saying he was a faggot, but I'm saying he was a reprobate. And I'm not saying he drew with crayons either, but I'm just, you know, these are just the categories. This is the psychopath. You know, he was definitely a reprobate. It was too late for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was doomed, but he was also possessed by the devil. Satan entered into him, right? And then, you know, obviously, yeah, you know, this guy could develop this, and, you know, what a combination that would be, okay? Or, you know, you could have somebody who has this and this, you know, an unsaved person, right? They could be demon-possessed and have a chemical imbalance. Could be a mixture of both. But we just want to make sure that we don't just paint with a broad brush. Here's what I want to make sure that we don't just say, anybody who's having mental problems is unsaved and wicked. Is that really true?
No.
That's not true. Because of the fact that there are chemical issues. Now let me kind of just change tack a little bit in the sermon and talk about something else. Because I've got a list here, and I'm just trying to kind of squeeze everything into this sermon that I can, because of the fact that this is kind of an overview sermon. You know, I've done whole sermons on the reprobate and the psychopath. I've done whole sermons on being demon-possessed. I've done whole sermons on drug-induced psychosis, like I did that sermon called Ways to Destroy Yourself, where I went into more detail and talked about that. But the thing is, I wanted to do this sermon to give the overview and kind of show you how all these things are similar and how they're different, so that we can get kind of the bigger picture, okay? Now, the world and the worldly psychology of this world, you know, they break down mental illness into six categories, okay? So let me read you the six categories according to the professionals, as it were, okay? Number one, depression. Number two, ritualizing, which is like addictions. Number three, phobias. Number four, personality disorders. And by the way, if you think this multiple personality or dissociative identity disorder is rare, studies show that 1 to 3% of people meet the full criteria. 1 to 3% of people, okay. That's according to worldly psychologists. They say 1 to 3% of people are clinically multiple personality or dissociative identity. Okay, number five, perpetual distortions or schizophrenia. And number six, serial crime disorders. Serial crime disorders. Okay, so let's kind of break this down, you know. Serial crime disorders. Which one do you think we're talking about here? The reprobate, right? Serial crime disorder. Somebody who's a serial killer, serial rapist, serial adulterer, whatever. Somebody who's just no conscience, right? So that's category six here. Okay. The personality disorders and schizophrenia, that's four and five, are covered here, right? What about phobias? Phobias, you know, I would tend that could lean toward this over here, because a lot of the psychosis could be like a phobia. But of course, there could be crossover, because the Bible calls these people fearful. It says that they're fearful people, and again, that's another sermon. And then, the phobias could also be, you know, this right here, of course. It could be either one or somebody's just scared. And then we've got ritualizing or addiction. Okay, well, some of that's not even a mental illness. That's just somebody who just keeps sinning.
Right.
Okay, you know what I mean? So I think that isn't necessarily even a mental illness always. It could just be somebody who's addicted to something. And then depression. Okay, well, you know, depression, again, it could just be somebody sad or whatever, or it could be a physical issue. It not necessarily psychosis, but just a physical issue. So a lot of your phobias are under this because of the, you know, you're scared of bugs, you're scared of being wiretapped, you're scared of all these things that aren't really happening or whatever. So let me just briefly talk about depression in closing here. Okay, so the Bible calls this heaviness. Okay, so if you think about depression, what does it mean to depress something? It means to like press it down, right? You know, depress such and such the button. You'll read an instruction sometimes. So depression is something weighing down on you, or the Bible calls it heaviness. So some of what we call depression is just people are going through a hard time, they're just sad, and some of it's normal, and it's not a physical problem, it's not even a spiritual problem necessarily, it's just you're going through a hard thing. I mean, if your child dies or something, right, you're going to be sad. That's normal. You're mourning. We don't mourn like those who have no hope, but we still mourn. Amen? So a lot of times people just want to just put a label on something and say it's an illness so they can give you a drug. Oh, you're addicted to sin? Well, ritualizing, you're mentally ill, here are the drugs, that'll be $1,000. You know, so you got to think about that. Oh, you're depressed? Oh, here, take this pill. Oh, your kid just died a week and a half ago and you're still depressed? Oh, here, you better take these pills. Folks, that's normal to be mourning for a few weeks, few months. Now, obviously, you do need to eventually get over that and move on with your life. But the Bible indicates people, when someone dies, sometimes mourning for 30 days or mourning for a week or mourning, you know, so there's a time period of mourning there that's normal. But then, of course, we cling to the promises of God. We don't mourn like those who have no hope. We know that we're going to see our loved ones again if they're saved, etc. So a lot of the depression is just people being sad. We're not designed to be happy all the time, folks. You know, it's okay to be sad sometimes, right? Jesus wept. You're going to go through times of sorrow, times of joy. That's normal. Now, some people, though, are perpetually depressed. That is a problem. And sometimes people are depressed to the point of being suicidal. Obviously, that's a serious issue. Now, this could be one of a couple things. This could be a spiritual problem. You know, some people, if they're not right with God, if they're living in sin, if they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying, you know, they could get depressed partially just from feeling guilty. And because they feel like they have no meaning in their life or that they're not going anywhere. Because guess what? I got news for you. If you're not serving God, you're going nowhere in life.
Right.
I feel like I'm going nowhere. Well, if you're not serving God, you're right. You are going nowhere. You got to serve God with your life, all right? You got to love the Lord. You got to follow His way for your life. But look, we don't want to make the mistake, again, of thinking that every single person who is depressed has a spiritual problem. We don't want to just say, oh, you're depressed? Read your Bible. It's like, I'm already reading my Bible and I'm still depressed. You know? Or, hey, oh, you're depressed? You need to pray more. Listen to more hymns, you know, listen to more preaching. Folks, I agree that those things are the answer to our spiritual problems, right? The answers to our spiritual problems are what? You know, getting fellowship in the local church, reading our Bibles, going out soul winning, praying, keeping God's commandments, doing unto others, and if we do things for other people, we get the emphasis off ourselves, we'll stop being depressed, right? Because a lot of times being depressed, you're just focused on self. And sometimes when I've been sad, if I can go out and do something else for someone else, then I feel better. Or sometimes if I'm sad and depressed, I go to church and then I feel great. I read my Bible, then I feel great. I start singing a hymn, I feel great. So look, yes, those things can be the answer, but those things are not always the answer. Because what if somebody has a physical problem? What if somebody has a physical problem? We don't want to just say everything's a spiritual problem. That isn't true.
Right.
Because we are made up of body, soul, and spirit.
Right.
And here's the thing. I'm going to put these away because these aren't really relevant to the rest of the sermon. And I hope those things are helpful just to help you remember a little bit and not don't get too fixated on the crayons and the bug spray. That was just a little memory thing to help you remember the sermon. And you know, I'm going to quiz you like a year from now. And I think you're going to remember the bug spray, the crayons, and that tremendous faggot that was up here. So basically, here's the thing. Okay. If you're depressed, it could be a spiritual issue, like I said, if you're not right with God. But what if you're doing the right things and you're still depressed? I mean, what if you're reading your Bible, you're going to church, you love the Lord, and you're still feeling like crud all the time? Look, it's out there, folks. People struggle with this. You know, you might have a physical problem, and let me tell you something, drugs are not the answer.
Yeah.
Antidepressants are not the answer. Read the side effects on the antidepressants.
Depression.
Suicide, depression. Yeah. They literally say, side effect, depression. Side effect, suicidal thoughts. Folks, you don't want to get started on that stuff.
Yeah.
And then you know what? That stuff, folks, you know, you got the depression, and then you take that, and then that can trigger this.
Yeah. Right.
That can trigger psychosis when you start taking a bunch of cocktail of psychiatric drugs. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you're covered in bugs, and they're not really there, all right? Sometimes the bugs really are there, so, you know, consult a professional. But anyway, so the point is, there could be a physical issue. Now, I'm going to give you the threefold cure for depression. Here's my threefold cure for depression, because when people come to me and they're depressed, I always check them on three areas. Okay, I check them on three areas if I can, because whenever I hear about people committing suicide, a lot of times they get a strike on all three of these areas. Okay, see, part of the way that our mood is regulated is by endorphins, okay? So we have endorphins in our brain. We have a part of our brain known as the reward center.
Yeah.
So part of the way our brain works is that our brain will reward us for doing certain things, okay? And endorphins make us feel good. And if you don't have endorphins, you get depressed, whereas the endorphins can lift your spirit, okay? So how are these endorphins release? Well, exercising can release endorphins. So let's say you're just living a very sedentary life. You're sitting around, you're just doing nothing, you're watching TV a lot, you're playing video games a lot, you're on social media a lot, but you're not physically getting out there and getting winded, working up a sweat, or doing any heavy lifting. Let me tell you something, I'm not surprised that you're depressed, because that's how our body releases endorphins to make us feel good.
Right.
You know, you talk about the runner's high or anything. Look, if you go and do a hard workout, at the time you're suffering, but afterwards you feel great.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you'll come home from the gym or from running or whatever, and you're like, hey, everybody, you know, and you feel great. Who has experienced that euphoric feeling? Of course. You feel good, right? So now, it doesn't have to be exercise. Maybe you have a physical job. If you have a physical job where you're out working really hard physically, you'll get the same endorphins just from doing some hard physical activity, okay? But not only that, number two is that you can have endorphins released just from achieving something or accomplishing something. It doesn't have to be like a hard physical activity. It could even just be an achievement. Like, for example, you know, every day I go through hundreds of flashcards for different foreign languages that I'm learning and stuff like that. So I'm always going through hundreds of flashcards every day. Even just if you look at a flashcard and you get the answer right, there's just a little endorphin there of like, you got it right, you win, you know? So your body's like rewarding you. Your brain is rewarding you for getting the answer right, so that way you'll remember tomorrow because you want to get it right again because it feels good to get it right. Or let's say you go to work and let's say you do a really good job at work. You know, let's say, and even if it's not a physical thing, let's say you go to your white-collar job, you know, your management job or your computer-aided drawing job. You know, let's say you build something or finish something or turn in that project or deliver that speech or deliver that presentation or finish that report. Finishing things, accomplishing things, getting things right makes you feel good. Right? And then, of course, and again, this is not available to everyone, but if you're married, there's something else that makes you feel good that releases endorphins. Okay? So here's the thing about this. Here's what you'll find. You'll find people that are depressed and suicidal, sedentary, no job, so they're not really, they don't have any achievements or they're not working toward anything, they don't have any goals, and then often single. Okay, and then it's, you know, now look, again, I'm not saying, hey, you can't be happy unless you're married or something. Because look, you got two other avenues to get your endorphins, right? But let me tell you something. Look, if you're single, if you're a young teenage boy, right, and you're, you know, you're at that age where, you know, fornication is a temptation for you, you know what you need to be doing? You need to be doing some physical hard work. Okay, so that you can find another way to get your endorphins and you're not tempted by the devil to do the wicked sin of fornication, right? Get out there and do something else to feel good. Get out there and work hard, build something, do something, exercise, lift weights, run, whatever you like to do, play sports, whatever. But you got to get involved in something. You know, Isaac Newton said something along the line, I'm going to botch the quote, but it wasn't in my notes, but Isaac Newton said something along the lines of, you know, the key to being pure, you know, is not to fixate on purity all the time, because he said if you're fixating on purity, then you're thinking about women all the time. You know, I'm not going to think about women or whatever. So he said the way to stay pure is to get busy with other things. Yeah. You know, be busy with other work and studies and other things, you know, to take your mind off of what the devil's trying to tempt you with, because of the fact that out of sight, out of mind. And that's why the devil's constantly trying to put those images before us in 2019. He wants you to think about that and fixate on that all the time. So we got to unplug from that stuff, you know, get in our Bibles, get out and do some work, you know, get out in the wilderness and do some hiking, go climb a mountain. You know, go on a bike ride, get out there, and you know what? You'll get the endorphins, and you won't be fixated on the wrong things. But if here's how I unwind at the end of the day. You know, I just plop down in front of the TV and watch 3 or 4 hours of scantily clad women on TV. Oh, yeah, then you're going to feel great. You're sedentary. You're putting a bunch of temptation in front of your mind. You're not getting the endorphins from going out and physically doing something, and then you're sad and depressed and gloomy. Okay. So anyway, I just want to let you know that every mental problem is not a spiritual problem.
Right.
Some mental problems are spiritual problems. Some mental problems are physical problems. Okay. And look, the psychiatric industry doesn't have the right answer, no matter what your problem is. If your problem is a spiritual problem, then you know what? You got to get right with God, read your Bible, pray, go to church, go soul winning, get involved, right? Amen? That's the fix for this. We're constantly fixing the spiritual problem here 3 times a week. We're dosing you with some powerful medicine here 3 times a week, okay? If that's not enough, hop on YouTube and listen to, you know, sermons from our friends, all the other churches. How many sermons are being produced now amongst our friends? About 80 sermons a week going on YouTube or something? Yeah. It's impossible to keep up with it all. So pick your medicine. It's all there for you. But look, if you have a physical problem, don't go running to the doctor because you're a little sad or something. What you need to do first, before you now look, if you're pulling out your nails with pliers or something, yeah, you know, you might need to go get some serious help. You might need to get professional help at some point, okay. But what I'm saying is, you know, what you need to try to do is fix the physical problem by evaluating your lifestyle. And this is biblical advice, my friend, because the Bible talks about the right kind of eating and drinking. The Bible talks about working hard, working by the sweat of our face all the days of our life, right? The Bible talks about, you know, it's better to marry than to burn. And so look, folks, this is biblical-based advice about how to fix the physical problem. Why don't you take a look at your nutrition? If you're depressed, okay, stop eating so much junk food. That's why you feel so cruddy. Your reward center is like, shall I reward you for this? Junk that you're putting in your body? Should I praise you for this? I praise you not. Okay, your reward center. Look, you want to feel good? You want to activate the reward center? Hey, start eating good food and get out there. And by the way, get in the sun. You know, a lot of people are depressed because they live in cloudy places. What's your excuse? I mean, we live in the valley. Look, don't lock yourself up all day, man. Get outside, get in the sunshine, go for a walk. Look, you say, well, I'm not a big exercise guy. Okay, take a walk.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you got to go run a marathon, but can you walk around the block a few times? I mean, can you go on a walk for a half hour? Hey, get out there, take a nature walk, take a hike. Go for a run, ride your bike, lift weights, swim, whatever you like to do. But you've got to get off your butt and get moving.
Yeah.
Now, look, if you just sit on your butt all day and you're as happy as a clam, well, good for you. But you know what? If you're feeling sad and depressed, get active.
Amen.
Get the. It's not just about, folks, it's not, people don't just exercise just to lose weight.
Yeah.
Right.
It's about the psychological benefit. It's a mental benefit. There's a huge benefit to it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. And Lord, I pray that people would take heed unto the advice that you give, Lord. And you warn us so many times about, hey, that we need to keep your commandments, or you could punish us with mental illness, madness, astonishment. Take away our hearts, Lord. Help us to take those warnings seriously. Also help us to take the warning seriously that tells us to be sober, not to be drunk. Lord, help us to take the warning seriously about being idle and lazy and slothful, Lord. Help us to eat right, drink right, work hard, get physical. And Lord, just please help everyone in our church to have a sound mind. I know that's your will for our church. And anyone who hears this message, Lord, please help them to have a sound mind. If there's anyone who's afflicted with any of these things, I pray that they would find the right solution. And Lord, help us to use discernment, making a difference, understanding, you know, what people's issue is, understanding the difference between the reprobate and the psychotic and the